This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
يروي الشيخان فيما اتفق عليه عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. حديث tonight, collection of both Imam Bukhari and Muslim is made to us by Anas ibn Malik. And this is still within the theme of understanding Iman. I'm going to keep on giving you different angles of how the Prophet ﷺ addressed the topic and talked about it until, inshallah, we gain a certain degree of clarity of what Iman is, the importance of it, why it is one of the most talked about, or one of the most used words in the Quran. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. It was always آمَنُوا at the beginning. You can't assume that a word used so frequently in the Qur'an, a word that has such weight in the deen, can be something very superficial or simple. There must be profoundness to it. There must be some degree of depth to it. And I feel like the Prophet ﷺ spent a lot of time explaining it and teaching it and making sure people picked up the meaning both from the kitab and from his teachings, and that we've kind of lost a little bit of that. Maybe oversimplified it. And I can claim pretty comfortably that we, as Muslims, have done that to a lot of major Islamic concepts. Actually, a phenomenon you can call it phenomena because a couple of things that happened. But a phenomenon that sociologists refer to, where when civilizations fall, the concepts that they were once built on are reduced to the shells of what they once were. This is all across the board, historically, everywhere. Like any empire or civilization that manages to build its hadara, to have its strength, it does it and it bases it on certain concepts, certain values, certain principles that are very profound and meaningful. The people who build it understand them very well. Whenever that empire, civilization, or a nation falls, it's usually when you go and analyze those same principles, values, or concepts, you find that all that's left of them are just shells of what they once were. And I think we can argue pretty safely as Muslims that this has happened already for us, which is why we failed, or we've been failing for a while. And if we want to actually reverse the process, we just have to go back to these principles, these values, these very important concepts, and understand them properly again. And I think Iman is a prime example of that. And there's a lot of other examples that you can probably even think of yourself. But this is what he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, in this hadith about Iman. He said, and I've actually narrated this hadith in this message before, so you've heard it from me maybe a couple of months ago. The three things, if you have them, you'll find the sweet nectar of Iman. And the reason that I'm narrating this hadith is because alayhi salatu wasalam, not only did he refer to Iman as something that you can learn, not only is it supposed to have, it's supposed to reflect or mirror behavior, but it's also something that should grant you beauty. Like you should suppose, if you have Iman, that should suffice. It should be enough. Having Iman should fill the heart, fill the spirit with all that it needs, to the point where you're not really in need of anything else. You find so much beauty. This is what he says, sweet nectar. Obviously, it's figure of speech. Obviously, metaphorical, because, can you understand this literally? It's impossible to understand literally. No one starts drinking asal the moment they accept Iman or it becomes meaningful to them, but rather metaphorically it becomes meaningful to them and actually they start finding some beauty. So what are the conditions of Iman actually being beautiful to you or being enjoyable to you or joyful? So he says, here's the three things he says, alayhi salatu wasalam. قَالَ أَنْ يُحِبْ أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا. For Allah and His Prophet to be the most beloved things to you over everything else, overall. Meaning nothing comes remotely close to the love you have for Allah and the love that you have for His beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first one is love of two individuals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ali al-Azim, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Number two, وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الرَّجُلَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. And for you to love another person, and the only reason that you love them is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning you're hoping for this person and yourself to worship Allah together, serve Allah together, be on the Day of Judgment together. You want to be, want to help them because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with you, and you want to come together only for ta'ah, only for reasons of good deeds. And the third one, so another love, right? So you love Allah, you love His Prophet, and you love Muslims, basically, if I want to simplify this hadith a little bit and Sorry, number three, وَأَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ. And for you to hate to ever leave the faith that you are in, just like you would hate to be thrown into a fire. Hate is love. It's just the love of the opposite thing. That's all hate is. It's just the love of the opposite. So to hate to leave the deen is just basically the love of the deen. That's all it is. Honestly, there's nothing else. Like, hate is not the opposite of love. It's just love of the opposite thing. If I love you, great. If I hate you, I just love to see you in pain. There's still love somewhere there. It's just the love of something not very good. So when يكره أن يعود في الكفر, to hate to leave this deen means that you love it so much that you would never want to leave it. So he's explaining alayhi salatu wasalam, in order for you to enjoy iman, you can have iman, you can follow iman, it can be, but if you want to enjoy it, like if you want to actually have joy from it, then four things have to occur. Allah has to be the most beloved one to you. And then his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And then you have to love Muslims, and then you have to love Islam itself. So again, it's love, right? Wasn't a few nights ago, لَن تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَبُّ. You will not, and you will not have iman until love is the manifestation of your iman. Until you're producing love and accepting. That's the only way for your iman to be complete. You have to have love. And here he explains, alayhi salatu, you want to enjoy iman? Like, yes, ya Rasulullah, I don't want to continue to push uphill. I don't want to continue to walk uphill in this story. I want to enjoy this. Okay, then you need to find love. Then your heart has to find love. You have to love him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have to love Muslims. You have to love Islam. There has to be love in your heart. If there's love in your heart, then iman suddenly becomes enjoyable. It's not a job anymore. It's not a chore. It's not, here's obligations you have to do. No, it transforms into something different, which is supposed to be the case. It turns into something you want to do, not something you have to do. And I find this hadith to be very meaningful in that. And of course, this is a large topic, but I wanted to kind of show you how the Prophet ﷺ is always connecting to iman these very, very interesting and beautiful and touching ideas. يروي الإمام البخاري والإمام مسلم كل في صحيحه عن أنس ابن مالك رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ثلاث من كن فيه وجد حلاوة الإيمان أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما وأن يحب المرأة لا يحبه إلا لله وأن يكره أن يعود في الكفر كما يكره أن يقذف في النار صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين جزاكم الله خيرا بارك الله فيكم سلام